a housing burst.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. There haven't been many signals that the housing market is about to turn around. But this morning, there's at least some reason to think it could. Possibly, maybe. Applications for mortgages are at a five-year high, thanks to interest rates we haven't seen in decades. Of course, applications aren't the same thing as loans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The Mortgage Bankers Association says mortgage applications for the week that ended December 19th were up 48%. Mortgage rates are being driven down by the Fed. It's plowing money into Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae. Ginny handles certain government-backed loans. That cash infusion allows for more new mortgages or refinancing. Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. He says don't get too excited. We're still in a credit crunch.
There are a lot of people who are making applications now who don't know that they're not going to qualify. They're going to find out that they have no equity in their house and no one wants to make them a loan.
And Sakala says the low rates may not help stave off foreclosures. Homeowners being foreclosed upon need completely new loans, not just a refinancing at a lower rate. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There are some other numbers out this morning, none of them very pleasant. Consumer spending, down. Personal incomes, down. Durable goods orders, yeah. Of course, Wall Street has heard it all by now, and so stocks are up a bit. The Dow has gained 38 points to 8,458. The NASDAQ is flat, and the S&P 500 is up 1 point. Stocks finish mostly lower in Asia, and the markets are a fraction lower in Europe. The stock market on Wall Street does close at 1 Eastern today. Most prices are falling in this economy, except this one, the price of cocoa. We're joined by our correspondent in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, how expensive is it now?
It's at its highest in London for 23 years. My favorite quote of the morning, cocoa is on fire, says one analyst. There hasn't been this much excitement in the London cocoa market, Scott, for quite a few years since somebody actually tried to corner the cocoa market a few years ago, somebody who was inevitably dubbed Chock Finger by the press. So it's looking very buoyant, not to say frothy here in London.
Okay, so why is it going up?
Part of it is to do with the fact that there's a huge market in London and cocoa is priced unusually here in London, not in US dollars, but in British pounds, and the British pound is weak. But beyond that, the bigger story is supply and demand. Supplies are pretty tight. Cocoa production in Africa has been falling. Heavy rainfall, apparently, in West Africa has cut output. There's been an increased incidence of the dreaded black pod disease. And, of course, there's been concern, too, about political unrest and upheaval in West Africa, which has raised fears about future supply.
And what about the demand for cocoa?
Well, this is interesting, too. Demand is holding up, unlike many other commodities in a downturn. And it comes down to this whole point about comfort food. People need their steaming hot mug of cocoa at bedtime, or they need their chocolate bars to keep their spirits up throughout the misery of the recession.
All right. Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Some people buy chocolate, other people buy guitars at auction. Somebody just paid $100,000 for one of Kurt Cobain's guitars. It's a classic Fender Mustang with a sunburst finish. I should also mention that Cobain smashed it on stage, so it's held together by duct tape.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Paramount Pictures, presenting The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, starring Brad Pitt and Cate Blanchett, directed by David Fincher, in theaters Christmas Day. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
Taxpayers expect some changes in the business world after all this economic fallout. But company executives may have different ideas. Commentator Robert Reich sees a giant conflict of interest brewing.
The public believes the bailouts of Wall Street and the Big Three will permanently change these industries, but I doubt that's what industry insiders want. Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein, for example, said recently the firm's business strategy doesn't need to change. What? Goldman got $10 billion of taxpayer money precisely because it and other big banks were so over-leveraged they threatened the whole financial system. I can understand why Blankfein doesn't want to change. He took home $54 million last year. But the public expects real reform for its $10 billion at Goldman and tens of billions more in other banks. The big three have agreed to become far more fuel efficient as a condition for their bailout, but they promised this before, during the oil crisis of the 1970s. They never delivered then because their biggest profits were in gas guzzlers that consumers wanted to buy as soon as the first oil crisis was over. Will history repeat itself? Now that gas prices are half what they were 6 months ago, consumers who can afford it are suddenly less interested in fuel efficiency. They're buying fewer hybrids and showing renewed interest in SUVs. So why should we think Detroit will revolutionize itself? Now, I'm not so cynical as to accuse anyone of bad faith. It's just that both Wall Street and Detroit earned big bucks from their old strategies before the bottom fell out of the economy. So it's natural to think they'd view the bailouts as ways to hold on until the economy rebounds. They see their problem as cyclical, not structural. But the bailouts have been sold to the public as means toward fundamental change in finance and autos. This means if the bailouts are to do what they're supposed to do, stop Wall Street from wild risk-taking with piles of borrowed money, and push the auto industry into making fundamentally new products, Washington will not only have to set strict standards, but watch over these industries even when the recession is over.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent book is Super Capitalism. Share your opinion with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. And from all of us at Marketplace, happy holidays.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.